Welcome, everyone, to the Crit Rate Podcast for Wednesday, August 3rd. Today's episode 6. And I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, joined by Alex Schock.
Yo.
And returning to the podcast, Justin Chow.
It's been 2 weeks. I know. I missed you guys so much.
We're very happy to have you back. It has not been the same without you.
Oh, I appreciate that. We've had a weird run of some people not... We haven't had a full crew in a while.
That's right. My voice probably still sounds way better. Did you listen to the podcast last week at all?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
I sound like a train wreck.
Really? Yeah, but you're going through some serious stuff, I think.
Yes. So I have tested negative for COVID as of yesterday. I took 2 tests, so I'm negative. So we're in person. Here we are. Hello.
Were we going to try to dial Liz in, or she's out this week?
We are not dialing Liz.
Okay. I don't think that would be a smooth way to do that. I know. We've done it before, but... Yeah.
The ship has sailed. We have left the port.
Yeah, we're already starting. The recording has happened.
Liz will join us next week. Complications with her setup. She had to do something remote, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Here we are. It's a boys club tonight.
Boys club. Love it.
All right, guys. As you know, this is the Crit Rate Podcast. We are here to bring you all of your video game news and reviews, goings on that happened during the week. And we represent the website, crit-rate.com. I'm going to get the full URL, I swear to God. As you know, Crit Rate is the world's first gaming personality-driven game review site. You can go to crit-rate.com and fill out your gaming profile, figure out what gamer house you belong to, and then start to get personalized reviews based on the type of gamer that you are. On our last podcast, we talked about the results that we had from Classic Game Fest. Mm. We had a great activation there.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was really great. We had a nice distribution of houses, which was really awesome. And then this week, we were going to discuss the review results for the next wave of games that we had that came through. But we have just learned that Crit Rate is going to have another appearance at the Long Island Retro Game Show.
Yeah, I don't know. LI Retro is what they call it.
Yeah, it's called LI Retro. So LI Retro is happening next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 12th through the 14th.
In
Long Island, New York.
The cradle of aviation.
It's a fantastic show. It's run by our friend Joel. They do a really great job as far as vendors. It's an awesome space to walk around. You're literally like playing arcade games next to spaceships. It's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the greater New York City area, and are into retro games and things of the like, or you want to come meet the Crit Rate guys in person, please come through to Long Island Retro.
Yes.
After that, we will discuss the results from that convention, as well as get the cumulative game page results that we'll have for that next wave.
I think all 3 of us will be there. I think I will be there.
That's right.
Awesome. That'd be
fun. Come meet Alex Schock in person. We know you've been waiting your whole life.
I don't meet a lot of people, so be one of the first.
Be one of the first. So, yes, that's happening next week. But for now, we're just going to get into some of the gaming news this week. We've got information about a delayed game. We had a new, basically, Nintendo Direct. They call it Pokemon Presents.
Right.
That aired today.
Yeah.
As well as some other Nintendo-related news. But before we get into the news, I would like to know what everyone's been playing. Justin, you've been abroad, so I have to imagine you haven't been playing much, but maybe you got some game time in on the plane? Like, what's happening?
I'm not sure if I said this the last podcast before I left, but I did play and beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice. Mm.
And that game is freaking awesome.
It's excellent,
right? It's really excellent, and all I want to do is find more people to play with, just because like as they go through it, it's just like everything about like you know Turtles in Time that I like loved is there, and everything that I hate has been fixed. Mm. And it's great. It is great.
Yeah. The music is so good.
The music is so good.
Great to play. What character did you play as?
I played as Leonardo most of the time. Nice. I played a little bit of Raphael because I did really like, I mean, who doesn't like the techie kid, right?
Yeah.
But like after that, like I did think that April was also very good as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the only real characters that I've tried. I have not tried Shred.
Splinter. I've not played this game yet.
You have not played the game yet.
It's really great.
I know. I want to.
I got a platinum trophy in that game, which is not easy to do.
Just so you know,
I'm very good at
pretty good.
Just you got the platinum?
I did.
Whoa.
I got another platinum.
Brush off those shoulders.
I'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, so I played that, and then the only other thing that I played on my Switch was getting further in Triangle Strategy, which has been a slow move, but it's really just like whenever I have time, I'll like put a little time into it, and I think after that, I'm probably going to go back to Bravely Default 2 and see if I can finish that off. But overall...
Dude, Bravely Default 2 is so good.
And then one other thing that I've been hearing really good things about is the cat game.
Yep. Mm,
Stray.
And we talked about that.
Yeah.
Past couple weeks.
I'm interested in playing it, but I haven't had a chance to since I just got back from London and Paris. So
I will say, and this might help your chances of playing it, it is incredibly short.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure, depending on how explorative you want to get, you could likely shine that game off in under 5 hours.
Wow. Yeah, that's understandable. I look at that game and I don't really say, and I don't, it doesn't really scream deep story
investment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But overall, those have been the games that I've been like kind of currently dabbling with. And I'm beginning into Tetris again.
Nice.
But that's, I feel like whenever I travel, that's like the game that I always go to, just because it's like, it's just fun. Like the mechanics are fun, you know, and it's something to do on the airplane while I just constantly have a headache because of air compression.
Tetris is like, you put it well there, where it's like, sometimes when I want to play just like a video game, like I just want to hit buttons and hear cool noises, like that game satisfies so well. Dude, in that way.
There's been so many times at like 2 o'clock in the morning where I'm like, I really want to play something, but I don't really want to commit to anything. Yeah. And I'll pop in like Tetris Effect, and it is like exactly what I'm asking for.
Totally. Tetris Effect is good.
Yeah. And the music, the feeling, everything about it. And it doesn't even matter if you fail or win. It's just like a good, fun game.
Yeah.
Tetris. What did they discovered something back in like the 1980s or something like that.
Anyway. I'm gonna listen to that soundtrack again. I have that on vinyl.
It's me too.
Really good soundtrack.
It's a good soundtrack. Anyway, so moving on.
Who wants to go next? You want to go next? Or me to go next?
I'll go next. I do have, so it was an interesting week for me because it was one of the first weekends that I was home by myself with no plans, and I played a lot of games, and it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
So this week I probably have more games on my list than I have
ever.
More than three?
Yes.
Whoa.
And
look at this guy, high spender.
Giving me a run for my money.
I know. So it was a lot of trial and error. Like I was just checking things off that I was interested in. I mentioned this game Skull last week.
Yes.
That is like a roguelike game where you're a little skeleton and you can take off your head and put on a different head, and now you become like, if you find a werewolf head, now you're a werewolf. If you find like an archer head, now you're an archer.
Kirby style.
It's pretty cool. And they do some fun mechanics with it. Stop playing it. Didn't like it.
All right.
Roguelikes, if they don't get you, I feel like it's very easy to walk away from a game like that, you know?
The permanent progression was too slow. So then you end up, and it was a cute game, but you end up just playing the intro levels over and over again. You're like, these levels are boring.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting enough like growth where I feel like I'm dominating. Like I want to feel like I'm dominating those early levels.
Sure.
After a certain amount of time. That's kind of half the fun. So gave up on that. And I tried a game I've been really wanting to play for a while, just because I was so curious about it. Mortal Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
No. This was a Dark Souls knockoff.
It was this pseudo, like, it was pretty popular when it came out. Like, it was a pretty well-polished, it looked like Dark Souls, it played like Dark Souls, like, copy.
Yeah.
So I fired it up, like, I could play, I'm still, like, jonesing off of Elden Ring. It's like, I could play like a Dark Souls.
Did you actually beat Elden Ring?
Did you sit down?
Not yet.
Me neither.
No.
I need to get back into it. I'm planning on playing it later tonight.
I know,
Justin. I'm getting close. I know.
It came out in February.
I'm still enjoying it though. I'm just still enjoying the meal.
Okay, yeah. So I fired up Mortal Shell trying to like get a little taste of that meal. You know, like it's probably not going to be as good, but I'll get a taste.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at all. It was really bad.
Damn.
Yeah. Sorry, Mortal Shell people. The movement was very floaty. Attacks didn't feel impactful. Enemies are kind of like...
A game like that, you can't really have floaty mechanics. You need exact, precise, accurate feeling.
Yeah, you're running around more like...
Do you feel like you're skating around on the floor?
Yeah, kind of. Like that. You know, like Final Fantasy characters sort of like... It's not quite that bad where you're just sort of like clomping around.
Like Final Fantasy VII Remake or like... Because I felt like Remake was pretty good.
Yeah,
like,
that walking
like,
was great.
No, not that. Yeah. I don't know. Like an MMO where you're just sort of like running.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's not that bad. They were trying to be really deep and everything, but it just didn't work for me. Yeah. So gave up on that very quickly. Beat Stray. So got that out of the way. I was right at the end.
Yeah.
But So did all of those games, and then I landed on one, not the one
that we're playing.
Not the one that we're playing. I landed on this game called Dreamscaper, which is a game.
It's a cool name for a game. I haven't heard of this game.
I know.
It's a cool name.
So it's another roguelike, but it's closer to like where Skull was a 2D, like side-scrolling.
Yeah.
Roguelike, this is more like Hades. Mm. And the idea is that this girl, whenever she dreams, she goes into this other world. And you know, you're going through doors and attacking enemies and finding items. Like, there's this nice loot progression, and then you wake up and you can do things around town, and you're improving relationships or meditating to upgrade your dream skills. And the art style is really beautiful and like relaxed and almost like zen like
That's pretty cool.
It's a very, so I've been really liking the, like, the combat's nice, the characters are nice, the graphics are nice, and it's on Game Pass, so it was just, it's been like a nice roguelike game that has that kind of progression that I've been liking, or that I've been looking for. So I've been putting some time into that, and it's just been like a nice, like, little, you know, experience. So if you like roguelikes, and you like Hades or games like that, I would say check out Dreamscaper.
Okay.
I
still need to play that other game, Tunic, that you mentioned before.
That, yes, and that's more like Link to the Past.
Yeah,
you know, that's that experience, but like amped up, sort of. Really crazy, difficult, good, solid game.
That sounds fun.
Really cool music.
That sounds fun to me.
And then we can sort of pass a baton here. But Scrub and I have been playing a lot of Multiverses.
I want to know more about Multiverse. I've not looked into this at all. Yeah. It felt like that Nickelodeon, like, Smash Brothers game that I was like not really about.
Hopes so, very low.
Yeah, so I think a good way to tee this up, and I'm not trying to take the baton.
No, this is me passing the baton.
Okay, so I think what, because we were all in the same boat. None of us, right. I am very confident that none of us gave a shit about this game at all.
Scooby-Doo was in it, and I was like,
But last week on the podcast, I was pulling topics, and two of them drove towards multiverses, which was that very quickly it hit top 10 games on Steam.
Wow.
Which was nuts. And then when you looked at it, it by an insane margin outclassed every other online fighter as far as like current active player count.
Yeah.
Like nuts. It was like, it was something, what, like 500,000 or something crazy.
Whoa. And the next highest was like, in this,
was like maybe 100,000.
Yeah.
Like, so it wasn't even close. Like, it literally was not even close. So we were like, wow, like, clearly this game has like a ridiculous adoption rate. And those were just the PC numbers. That didn't include Xbox and that didn't include PlayStation. So like, and it's fully crossplay with all these platforms. So it's like, damn, like that's a lot of people caring about this game, like shockingly so, because I was like, why does everybody care about this, right? So we were talking about it enough on the podcast where I think afterwards we were like, all right, like, this game is free, you know, it was technically an open beta at that point, so we're like, let's just try it, like, let's just download it and see what all the fuss is about, right? I feel like this was similar to like Valheim, whereas like,
yeah,
everybody's playing Valheim, so let's just see what.
Sometimes even on the podcast, we sort of like amp it up. I'm like, we got to see what this is about.
Well, that's exactly what it was. I was just like, if this is the most popular, technically speaking, free to play game for that moment in time, like, there has to be something interesting here.
Yeah, right.
So we download it and we play it, and it turns out there was something interesting there. So baseline, it is a Smash Brothers clone. You know, it plays exactly like Smash Brothers. People are building up percents, except there's not a percentage sign in this. It's building up a number.
Yeah.
Makes them hit farther away, and you score kills by knocking people off. Mm-hmm. But the first major change that we noticed with it is that the core mode is 2v2. Like, the game is intended to be played 2v2. Like, that's how the game is supposed to be played. They have other versions, but everything ultimately is a derivative of 2v2. And this became more obvious because as we started to learn certain characters, many people's move sets have one move almost entirely dedicated to a teammate. So for example, one of the characters in it, I can only think of the dog.
Sure.
What's the dog's name?
You pick the one character that's not, it's an original character. Oh
yeah.
So
the okay. Let me try to figure out another one.
He's,
I think that one's just a good example because it shows
Velma too.
Okay.
You can play as Velma.
Let me do the dog. So okay. What's cool about the dog is that it's neutral special. So all of your moves are the same as Smash. You have neutral
forward air, forward
you have
smash,
your jab, or... you have your forward. So jab is technically like forward and punch or whatever. And then your neutral is like neutral.
I don't think there's tilts though.
No tilts.
Not in the same way that there are.
Yeah,
in
there's
smash.
Essentially smashes in all directions, and then like your neutral forward, like holding forward. And then same thing with all your specials. So with the dog is a support character. So in this game, characters fall into certain classifications. There's bruisers, support, mage, assassin.
Tank.
Cool. So Rain Dog is this character where their neutral special is this tether that they throw out. And if you throw the tether out, it will just hit somewhere on the stage. And then any other opponent character that passes through it is just actively taking damage over time.
Interesting.
But this becomes more interesting because if you're playing with your partner, you can tether it to your partner, and then you're both moving independently, moving this tether that's constantly causing damage over time. And then the and one is that if this tether goes out, Rain Dog can then hit the tether button again, and it will recoil the tether and pull the character back towards you. So like, let's say Justin was playing whoever, Harley Quinn, and you jump off and you're way deep off the stage trying to spike a character off and you're about to die, but you were tethered by Alex or I, we could just pull you back to the stage.
So it's like an Ice Climbers thing?
Sort of.
So there's like actual mechanics meant solely for cooperative team play.
That's the biggest difference.
Almost
every character either has a direct ability like that, or has an ability that will offer like a passive effect, like speed boost, attack boost, or...
So like Wonder Woman's down special is she equips this like floating shield that basically blocks the next attack that you get hit by. But if you're close to your teammate, both of you get it. So it's like that becomes really powerful. Or like with Arya Stark.
Arya Stark from Game of Thrones.
There's some interesting characters.
That's like my main character. She's really good.
I want to be her. That sounds awesome.
Her down special, she will immediately teleport to where your other teammate is, and then she puts a status effect on both of you called Turnaround, where the next attack that you hit somebody will flip them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is very
interesting.
Wow,
interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of weirdness like that. Also, one of Arya's things is she throws this dagger. But if you're playing with a teammate, you can throw the dagger at your teammate and then it will enrage them and then increase their damage that they're dealing out for a short period of time.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of like unison that's going on with it, which is very cool.
One of the most interesting characters, one of the most unique characters in this game. This game does interesting things with size. It's not like Smash where every character, I don't want to say more or less the same size, but they're not going to get like gigantic or like super super tiny, like you're gonna get Pichu to Bowser or something like that.
Yeah,
but this game has an interesting character called Iron Giant, who is
he's massive. He's easily
twice the two or three
more
times
than as, twice he's probably three times as tall as any other character in the game. He's huge, he's
a tank, and
like
he,
Iron Giant from like
from Iron Giant, yes,
yeah. Like, he's gigantic. And he just has a lot of heavy hitting moves, but he absorbs so much damage. Like, everyone's just hitting him. It's pretty annoying.
So he basically can tank through almost anything, but he can lay out these seriously powerful hits. And because he can take so much damage and he's so heavy and stuff, one of the abilities that he has is called, like, Protect Your Friends or something, which I think is a reference to the movie. But what that does is it puts a shield on your opponent where it will drop their percent from, like, let's say I was Arya. I would be at, like...
Your ally.
80 or 100% or whatever, it would drop me down to zero for a short period of time. And then any damage I take, Iron Giant would take for me instead.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Which is like very
MMOs
cool.
MMOs have these. This, and,
what else is interesting is he has this mode where he becomes this like...
Yeah.
Right.
Angry like that, turret. The battle version.
And,
yeah.
And he... So, and then you, as my partner, can actually jump into me and control different tentacles.
And then you each are shooting different things at other people.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
That's probably the... Like, no other character has a mechanic that extreme, and he's actually banned in competition.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't that like a little too powerful?
Well, it is, but he's so... It's so easy to hit him. Like, it will be a very short period of time before Iron Giant's like well over 100%.
I've had... matches where I've dominated with him, and then ones where you're just like, you're getting hit, and you can't do anything, and it's really frustrating. And he doesn't deal out damage that quickly because he's so slow. So there's a give and take there. I haven't really. There are tier lists out there, but I haven't come across characters that are outside maybe Shaggy.
Yeah.
As like clear, this character is just really, really good.
Yeah. Shaggy is
just really fast and small.
He's the Captain Falcon of the game. Like he has a Falcon knee. He has like the uppercut. Like
he can literally go Super Saiyan.
Yeah. Wow. He's pretty nuts. He's very.
When does Scrappy go Super Saiyan in the show?
I think when he gets like angry about something.
This isn't Scrappy though. This is Shaggy.
Human.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
The stoner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he goes Super Saiyan?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be referenced to something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. We're not deep anyway. On the Scooby Doo lore.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean,
sounds fascinating.
In general, the game is very. It's very fun in that way because there's a lot of different dynamics at play. You can do a lot of interesting things. There is some stuff that's a little hard to get used to. Like, there's a perk system. So, like, you can equip perks to your character beforehand, and, like, they actually affect combat, but you can coordinate your perks with your teammate, and they both get boosted because of it and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of layers to it. I don't know if it's, like, a perfectly balanced game, let's say. And it's definitely a little bit more stiff than Smash. Like, if Smash is like margarine, this is like Breakstone's butter. You know what I mean?
The moves, interesting, like, analogy. Everything's a little bit like
a little
stiffer.
It's like a little chunky, sharper. A little bit like more rigid. Mm. You know, but it's actually fine. Like it really doesn't affect it. Like once you get used to it, then it's a little bit
it's close to like a Brawlhalla. I mean, in terms of combat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But I think
one huge thing to its favor, though, is that the online is super consistent and you get matches so fast. It's I don't think we ever had a problem getting matched or people dropping or anything like that. It's just like it's just constantly good, which is nice. And maybe we had like one laggy game, but at this point we must have played like 200 matches. Like,
it's been fun. I mean, and the cast of characters is really good. Yeah. This is like the lowest tier character, one of the lower tier characters, but I play as Garnet from Steven Universe.
Oh.
And yeah. Steven Universe is in the game too.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so a lot of the characters are locked, so you either have to pay money or like you play enough to accumulate coins so you can unlock them.
Yeah.
Which is both fun and annoying at the same time.
It's annoying because you want to experiment with other characters, but it also creates good incentive to play the game, which is exactly what they want to have happen.
Is it free to play?
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, course. I mean, the characters are like, the characters are cool. I mean, Shaggy, Batman, Superman, Velma. I play as Arya Stark and Bugs Bunny. Those are like my two main ones now.
Bugs Bunny.
Tom and Jerry are in
Tom
there.
And Jerry. Bugs, I actually looked up again. Now they're saying that he's like beyond top tier. Like Bugs is like dumb good.
Oh, really? Is there something that sets him off? Sets him apart?
I don't know. His up air is disgusting. but yeah. So we've been playing that game a bunch. It's really fun. I think you will get addicted to this game very easily.
Finn and Jake are in there. I think you
Finn
would.
And Jake are in there. Oh, yeah. You were playing Finn a lot.
That's a WB thing?
I guess.
Cartoon Network.
Yeah, so it's all Cartoon Network. We looked up. So somebody data mined the game, and they found out all the other characters that are coming to it.
Wow.
And some of them are awesome.
Really?
Samurai Jack. Powerpuff Girls.
Oh.
Godzilla.
Huh?
Like, yeah, a bunch of peculiar
ones. I
didn't
know Godzilla was in W.
Oh, Gandalf.
What?
Yeah, Harry Potter. They're all going to be in there.
Oh, for a second, I thought you said Ganondorf.
No, Gandalf.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
But then you said Gandalf, and I thought
there's
Harry Potter.
There's the next game, Smash Brothers versus Multiverses.
That would Smash be versus Multiverses. Wow, that'd be interesting.
That would be nuts.
Versus Capcom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, I'll cracked the code.
Yeah.
I'll just run through really quick the list, only because it's interesting and this might be interesting to our listeners.
Yeah.
So the Joker, obviously. Daenerys Targaryen, Fred Flintstone, Gandalf, Legolas,
Wicked
Witch of the West,
okay,
Godzilla, Harry Potter, Ron Weasley.
Okay, Harry Potter and Ron Weasley. Those would be fun duo matches.
Raven from Team Titans.
Okay, cool.
Mad Max, Marvin the Martian, who I'm low-key.
Oh, I love Marvin the Martian. That's my favorite Looney Tunes character.
I'm in the same way. I'm low-key kind of stoked for that.
Yeah.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
Cool.
I don't know who Nubia is from Wonder Woman. Johnny Bravo.
What?
King Kong, Neo from The Matrix.
Dude, this is the better version of the Nickelodeon Smash Bros. Right? Game.
Gizmo from Gremlins. Emmett, who is the main character from the Lego Movie.
Emmett? Oh, the average guy.
Samurai Jack.
It's cool.
Ready for this one? Ted Lasso.
What? From Apple TV?
Yeah, and the Powerpuff Girls.
How the fuck are they going to get... Sorry for cursing. How are they going to get... Ted Lasso.
You know who I was thinking? I was like, this is also HBO, so it's like, what other HBO stuff? Oh. Part of me thinks that like Paulie from the Sopranos is going to be in there.
This is crazy. This is now breaching between, especially with Ted Lasso, between the cartoon like whatever fighter to like all of the pop TV stars.
Well, we went into Alex and I were going down this rabbit hole super hard, and one of the weird deviations that we took was like, well, Samurai Jack, Cartoon Network, Toonami, Dragon Ball.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Inuyasha.
No, but Dragon Ball is owned by, or rather, it's Funimation, right?
Yeah. But maybe the Toonami guy.
I mean, cool. There is a really big negative to this.
Excuse me.
There's the a really big. What was that?
Sorry. Yeah.
Excuse me. No, there's a really big negative that I really don't like. And that's that one of the characters currently in the game is LeBron James.
Yeah.
Which
from Space Jam.
From Space Jam.
Which I just find so like...
Yeah, it's a little...
Well, I mean, it looks exactly like LeBron James, and the name of the character is LeBron James.
It's just so like... pandering is not the right word, but like...
I know what you mean.
Like,
it's not pandering.
It's like he's throwing a basketball in the face of Velma.
He's marketable. It's marketable. That,
right.
I guess.
Right. He's not... So this is the same problem I had with some of the Smash Brothers characters. Like, he is not a classic character, which is what we all like about these characters.
Yeah.
Mithra?
They're all,
really?
Yeah, they're all classics outside of, like, the original one and maybe some fun ones. But, like, you know why LeBron James is in there. You know, like,
of course.
It's not for us. I think that's what bothers me. It's not for the gamer.
Yeah.
It's, like, for freaking him or, like, how much... I don't know.
I think some people are attaching to it, like, you know, for the meme. Right. But I don't think it's that good of a meme, to be honest with you.
So that kind of like, I'm like joking that it's a huge negative, but it's just annoying for me to see him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That aside, I do think you should really try this game.
I'm stoked to try it.
Yes.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's very cool. In other game news that I was playing, I've got something in my throat. It's like very annoying.
Do you want to like?
I'm okay. I will persevere.
Do you want
I'm the host. No, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So outside of Multiverses, which has been taking up almost every night, like literally we've played probably almost every day since last week.
They have little daily quests you can do, so jump in there.
Sometimes I wish Smash had that. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing a lot of things right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did Platinum Stray, which that was a fun Platinum to get, but there's one trophy in particular that is beyond infuriating. It's the very first section where you're running away from the spooky things. I can't remember what they're called.
Is it not get hit by any of them?
It's don't get touched. You can't be touched by any of them, and it's so hard because it feels so random.
Yeah,
but I persevered and I did it.
Can I tell you my strategy?
And yeah,
I'm assuming you looked it up. So like, I'm wondering if the strategy is correct. That I felt like when you're running away, there's like little ball things that jump in, little alien ball things that attack you. I feel like if you're running straight or whatever direction you're running in, they'll lead you like to where you're going.
Yeah, so you just cut.
So the whole, like in later sections of the game, I would just zigzag the whole time and I wouldn't get touched.
So I didn't zigzag the whole time. I would wait to see their jump and then I would just cut in a direction really hard to like... Because it's like Castlevania. They committed to their jump.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like they're landing in that spot.
So. Either way, there's a lot of those in that first section that Skirbo's describing, and that would not be fun.
Yeah, it was super infuriating. But I finished that, and I was happy about that. I then was like, okay, what's the next thing that I want to move to? This was when I was like deep in like COVID town. So I was like, I just need something to sort of like envelop myself in for a while. Multiverses was nice for that because, you know, we would play for a little while and then I could go to sleep, right? But I dove super hard in on Live Alive.
Yeah.
And
it's out.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm at the end of it now.
Wow, already.
Yeah, so I now have a very good understanding of what this game is.
Is it good? Is it worth it?
I would say it is good. It is not exceptionally blowing my mind yet.
Okay. I thought it was going to blow my mind.
Yeah. I haven't hit the end yet, and I have a feeling that the ending, I've been told that the ending is one of the strongest endings of JRPGs, period, which
High expectations. I'm
right there. So I haven't seen what it has to offer yet. I've only experienced, let's say, the first two-thirds of it, because what the game is it's dropping you into seven different characters' timelines. So there's seven different main characters, and then you play through their story, right? And it's an RPG. It's actually weirdly a tactics RPG. It's like a grid-based like battle system, which is pretty cool, actually. I do really like it. It reminds me of like Fire Emblem, kind of, where it's like you can move your character and then commit to an attack, and that attack has like ranges and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that I liked a lot about it. But what I realized very quickly is that the story segments that each of these seven characters have are so truncated that it's almost very linear in that way. Like, you don't really have that much freedom to like grind or level up your character or whatever, because they're telling a very focused story for each character.
Even though there's eight characters, you're being fed all eight characters' story simultaneously the way that they want you to play it.
No, you can pick whichever character you want, but their stories are totally isolated and separate from one another.
So like Octopath. But like Octopath,
not like Octopath. Because Octopath,
they did combine eventually.
Yeah, and there's a world map in Octopath and all this sort of stuff. This is like you're at a menu and you choose one of the seven options. And then when you choose that option, you are literally dropped into that person's story, and you cannot exit that story until you finish it.
Okay.
But that story might be an hour and a half. You know what I mean? Like pretty short. And what's cool about it, and I think this is a big benefit to the game, is how much variety there is in what you're doing. Mm. So like one of them, each of the different storylines takes place at a different period of time.
Yeah.
So there's like prehistoric era, and then there's like near future, and then distant future, and then
Japan.
Like, and then Japan and Imperial China and the Wild West and all this sort of stuff. And each of these stories is delivered in a very unique way. So like I'll give three examples just to show you sort of like how dynamic it is. So the Wild West, for example, in the Wild West story, you're learning about this character named the Sundown Kid, and he's a drifter that drifts into a town. A scuffle happens. He gets involved in the scuffle. Now you learn about this gang, and now you are entrusted by the town to solve this impeding gang war that's about to take place in this town. So your job is like, okay, well, now I'm going to prep the town and set traps everywhere so that we can, you know, minimize the damage when they come in, and then we're going to have one huge boss fight at the end with all of the gang members, and then that's the end of the story.
Hmm.
And that story's done. And then there will be another one. Probably the most interesting one that I had was the present day one, which was about a boxer, or not a boxer, like it's basically like an MMA fighter, and he's talking about how he's trying to be the greatest MMA fighter, and his story is literally just Street Fighter. You're like at a Street Fighter menu and you pick a boss and you just fight eight bosses, just like one after the other. Like you just pick which one.
That's hilarious.
And they have like these weird, like, you know, you're fighting like, you know, this character. Yeah. And they have like a weird name and an intro screen, and then they talk to you beforehand and then you fight, you know? Huh. So it's like, it's handled in very different ways. And then the third one is like, so the distant future, you play as like this robot, and it's like this weird space opera where you're just sort of like figuring, like something happens on a space station and there's this weird drama, scary thing, and you have to figure out what's happening, right? So it's like each of these are just very truncated, isolated storylines, which are very cool because they're over just as soon as they start, which makes it feel like they don't really overstay their welcome, with like maybe two exceptions. Two of them were way too long.
There's got to be a point at which, I mean, it can't be a game of eight separate stories that have nothing to do with each other.
Exactly. So that's the point that I'm at now.
Yeah.
So it's like I finished all of those stories and I'm about to find, like, they, like, I'm of the mind that they have to coalesce in some way, because right now none of them even know each other. There's zero overlap in all of these things. So
probably like either same person, different universe, or all generations of a family.
I'm thinking exactly this. I'm thinking exactly this, but I haven't seen it yet, and maybe it'll surprise me. So
yeah,
we'll see about that.
Live alive or live a live. Either way, it's like you're. Yeah, I do think it's probably generational in a weird way. Or, I mean, it doesn't make sense that a Japanese person or lineage would find themselves in Western, like, America, you know, like, Western. So, I don't know. But, like, we'll find out. I want to play this game really badly. I know when I was looking at it.
Physically, so it you can borrow it.
I appreciate that. I was looking at it. I think it is fascinating. I just hope that the voice acting or storytelling isn't as bad as Octopath. Octopath had so many great things about it, but I just couldn't get past the fuck. The NPCs all being just cardboard pieces in a town.
There's definitely, because this is more linear, every spoken word matters.
Yes,
because,
that's what I
because
want.
It's like it's a narrow story,
that
right?
There are
definitely winners and losers when it comes to the voiceovers.
Yeah.
Specifically, I find the Wild West one hilarious because it's like this is a rated T Nintendo game, right?
Tell me he's cursing.
I think technically
though.
It's a Square Enix game. They are swearing so much in the Wild West one. Like, in the first 2 seconds, this guy walks in, he's just like, "Who's this piece of shit in my chair?" And I was like, "What the?" I was not expecting to hear this.
Fascinating.
So that was pretty funny. Anyway, so enjoying that game.
Next.
Would recommend.
Third game.
The third game, so this was weird. I'm going to tell you a story. Guys, when I had COVID, I made a mess of my office. I was quarantined in my office. I couldn't engage with my family for fear of getting them sick. So I was stuck in here just making a bloody mess of the place.
Excellent.
So when I was relieved of COVID, I freaked the fuck out and just cleaned. Sorry for the language. Just cleaned like crazy. I like got rid of everything, and I cleaned on a level that like I haven't cleaned in a long time. Where I'm like throwing stuff out that's behind stuff and doing this whole thing. And one of the things that irks me, as listeners know, I play a lot of retro games, and when I pick up a bunch of games, I don't get to play them very often. So I had this stack of Genesis games that were sitting on my shelf for like a long time. Phantasy Star 2, this game Beyond Oasis, like all this sort of stuff. And I was like, I just need to test these games. I just need to play them so I can move them off of this and put them on the shelf where they're supposed to be. So I go through and I start trying these games out just to see what's up. And one of these games I start playing and I just was locked in on this game and I couldn't get myself away from it. And it wasn't even very spectacular, but I was like just so entrenched in it. It's a game called Valis. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
No.
Very peculiar storyline to this game. So you start out, it's a female protagonist, and she's like this Japanese schoolgirl. And when she's on her way to school, the weather changes drastically, and then all of these demons just start appearing out of nowhere.
As they do.
And then she just gets this sword bestowed upon her, and now she is running around killing demons with a sword.
As one does.
Right. So I'm like going through this game and it's like fairly unremarkable. It's like a platformer action beat 'em up type thing. But I just started like, I beat the first level and then I just was like, oh, well, I guess I'll play the second level. And I beat the second level and I was like, oh, okay, I beat the third level. And I'm like, okay, now I'm like halfway done with this game. So like,
invested.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'll just keep going. Yeah, and I did not beat that game. I got pretty close to it, and this is the shame. And so I was playing on an analog Mega SG, which is a fantastic console. It's made by Analog. It's really, really good. The problem with it is that there is a main menu on the analog the Mega SG that when you start the console, you boot into a cartridge from it. But you can also bring up this menu to adjust settings and stuff by doing random keystrokes. I think with that one in particular, it's if you hold down and hit like A or hit select or something.
Okay.
It will bring up this menu. And if you happen to hit the wrong button, it will either reboot the cartridge or like kick you out of a menu or essentially reset the game. I hit this menu. It's been a very long time since I've played on my Mega SG, and I did not know what the button was to exit the menu.
Oh, no.
And I hit the wrong button and reset the game and was like, son of a bitch.
It's so over.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's such a funny feeling to me to be playing a game that I'm more than half invested in. So you're like, I'm probably going to continue to play this.
Yep.
But you reach this point where, like I had that fatal flaw in Deathloop, where this thing happens, and you're sort of like stunned for a second, and then there's a realization that I'm never gonna play that again.
It's a
weird feeling.
That was what I was experiencing. And the thing was I was like, this wasn't like, now having gotten as far as I did in the game, I was like, I could definitely just smash this game the next time I play it. But I was like, but I'm just not gonna do that right now. I've come too far and I can't do it.
It hurts. Those moments hurt. It's sort of like a moment of clarity. It's like a breath after like you get punched or something. You're like, okay, like we did. That's over. That experience is done.
Yeah. So those are my things. I still haven't finished my run of The Quarry, which I.
I still gotta play that game.
I don't know how you even.
Did you beat that game?
No, I'm playing with Kristen, so we're just playing casually. But I think you're trying to do
This is my third playthrough.
The negative run.
This is the everyone gets infected run, which requires some specific. I just don't like following a walkthrough every step of the way. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the exact opposite of fun for this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't do that ever. I really hate that.
I mean,
but it's the point. Am I going to leave this game at 80% trophies? Like, ugh.
I mean, this is exactly it's a story. It's a story driven game. So it's like, you're not, if you don't get the story out of it, and you don't get the choices out of it. Like, you're literally getting nothing out of it.
This is why I don't want to play Last of Us Remake, Part 1, whatever. Because it's like, I know how sad this game is. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm at a solid, I think we talked about this, I'm at a solid like 30 or 40% that I will play that game.
That is a $70 game.
What? Yeah, so now it's like at a 20. Yeah. Realistically, there's so many other games that I could probably be playing and games that I own that I've never played, like Guardians of the Galaxy or Gran Turismo 7. Like, I've owned these games.
Dude.
And I haven't put in any time into any of them.
The one that I keep looking back to is Gran Turismo 7. I genuinely really enjoyed my time with that game, and I look forward to playing it again.
We should race.
I'd be super down. Yeah. There's actually a really fleshed out like online
multiplayer.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of games that we're likely not going to play,
let's go into it.
We have three news topics. The first one is the most relevant one is the Pokemon Presents that dropped today.
Yeah.
I found this information to be fairly unremarkable across the board. I don't really think there's any point in talking about the like free-to-play like cafe games and all this sort of stuff. But the main thing that they were talking about was Pokemon Scarlet and Violet that are coming out later this year in November. November 19th, something like that.
Did you notice how the legendary Pokemon has like wheels attached to it, but when it runs, it doesn't use the wheels.
You know, I'm almost like, I almost want to just use the other one because that looks so annoying to me.
It looks so bad. It looks like it's clipping through the ground.
Well, the other thing is like, that's the legendary. So it's like the legendary is your bike? What do you get at the end of the game?
What a disgrace.
You know what I'm saying? Like the legendary is your bike?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very weird on that. They showed the new crystal mechanic, which honestly, I look at that crystal, like gem crystallize mechanic or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Where the Pokemon turns into what looks like a Savorsky item.
Yeah.
Which guarantee they'll make Savorsky things out of this.
Wouldn't doubt it.
But when I see that, I'm like, I'm not inspired by this. It doesn't seem very special at all. It just seems like now you have a different piece of art that you can sell on Pokemon cards.
Yeah, it's called this merchandise.
Exactly, dude.
I mean,
exactly.
It's another Disney spin model on the extra evolution.
Z-Max or whatever it's called.
Or the maximizing thing.
Megazon.
But except this time, you know, the concept I could get on board with where they get turned into this special thing and they have a different affinity and maybe they'll change types almost like you can go from a fire type to a water type or something weird. The problem is all of their Terra types, I think they're called.
Yeah.
They're these it's like this stained glass or just glass prism looking thing, like shaped Pokemon, but they all have stupid like chandeliers or jewels on their heads, like gigantic. And it's just, it's like, it just looks so dumb. Like, why is that there?
The thing is, like, I'm seeing that whole, like, so that mechanic in and of itself, I'm like, okay.
Like, sure. Like, whatever.
You have to add a gimmick because that's what Pokemon does. But then as I'm watching the rest of this, I'm just like, I think this was my moment where I'm watching this new thing and I'm just like, you know what? I feel like I would be okay to not play this game.
That's exactly where I'm at.
You know, I was like,
that's where I feel like I have been.
It has, to me, it has two things going for it. Three things going for it.
Four.
I'll start with, one is that there are, no, I'll leave that one for last because I have another comment on that. One is that there's co-op. So, like, we could jump in and play. Will that be fun? How limiting is it on an open world? Those are the factors that will
probably more than we want it to be.
Yes. Second, it's like it's open world-y, so it's like it's got that Arceus, which did work, but it has the Arceus format or like bones in there.
Yeah,
that was pretty fun. And but the last one, which is like a good and a bad thing, is the thing I didn't like about Arceus is that it had all old Pokemon.
Yeah,
and this one has new Pokemon, but. It was very weird to me that the trailer showed so many old Pokemon.
Yeah. Like, this was the same thing that I got, where I'm pretty sure they only showed two new Pokemon, which was that weird, like, goat deer with the wreath around its neck and something else.
There was a there's like sheep cloud thing that was soft to the touch, I remember them saying. Mm. And then there's the starters and then maybe one more. But they showed, like, even when he was walking around... the open world, like, you saw a lot of old Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it really bugged me. Like, that's not what I'm looking for right now.
Totally.
Like, that was so much fun to me, and it still is. Like, as a 34-year-old human, it is fun for me to find new discover new Pokemon and, like, see what weird stuff.
Yeah, like what, how far into the barrel do they dig for this,
like, it's
set
still,
of keys Pokemon?
It's nostalgic, it's creative, like, as weird as they are, like, it's fun to see what someone's mind came up with for this weird shape, but there was a lot of old stuff, so I'm a little confused by that.
Yeah, and if I were being 100% honest, we talked about this the last time we talked about this game, where you said you only wanted to see the final evolutions of the starters, so you know what was going on. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't watch this entire trailer waiting to see either the second evolutions or the final evolutions, and they never came, and I was just like, well, okay, like, I don't know.
I'm okay to put this one aside. Yeah. I'm okay if we're putting Pokemon as a franchise aside for a while until something really jumps out at me. I feel like I've been on the train for so long, and it's just like,
I needed
to fed the same thing over and over again.
I know, I needed a revamp. Arceus, like, scratched at it a little bit, but I need more.
But it was too shallow. Like, there should be more stuff in Arceus that should exist.
Well, and that's what I think that's what this game really needs to be. Yeah. And I haven't lost all hope, but
I haven't lost hope. I've just lost interest for now.
This trailer, if you're a true Pokemon fan, I'm sure you're happy because it's going to be Pokemon. But, like, from someone who's hoping for a little bit more out of it, it was a little flat.
Well, I think that's what it is. It's like, I'm kind of like, I've just lost my inspiration for it at this point.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, like, it looks exactly like what I would expect it to look like, and I feel like it's, I don't know. I might have a change of tune, but, like, realistically, I'm going to be playing Splatoon then, so.
I almost want them to, like, like what Star Wars does, like, license it out to a different developer.
Yeah.
And have someone else make a really crazy Pokemon game.
That'd be interesting. See a different art style through a different lens.
I'd love that. Yeah. I mean, they sort of do that, right? Like, it's not like Game Freak makes all of these or whatever.
November 18th, that's less than 10 days after God of War comes out.
No.
We'll
be done with God of War in 10 days.
Who developed Pokken, you know?
Bandai Namco.
So, like, game? There's Pokken.
Pokken Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Pokken
or whatever.
And, like, the Pokemon, what's Pokemon Unite? Or what's the MMO?
Oh, the
So that's a MOBA.
Other companies are taking the Pokemon franchise and, like,
Tencent made that.
Doing their own thing with it. So, yeah. I don't know. Give me, like, a... I don't know.
I'm kind of upset that I didn't actually give Pokken enough time. of day. I didn't even try that. It just looks so like...
I can't believe they're having tournaments for it at this thing. That was one of their announcements.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a world championship tournament. I was like, nobody's playing Pokken right now. Or maybe there are.
Dude, I used to get so excited for like the Pokemon card game tournaments like when I was a little kid. And I was like, I'm going to be the very best.
I fast forwarded through most of... Fortunately, I was late to that.
Yeah.
So I fast forwarded through the first like three quarters because... That was all. You really have to be into Pokemon to get into that stuff.
I just wanted all the context. One of our teammates is a Pokemon
Liz
card shop owner. So it's
she slings cards.
I imagine this was a big deal in the Caetano household.
Yeah. You know what?
That's what I was thinking.
I DVR'd it for them so they can watch it later, and I watched the last quarter. And
there you go.
You know what? There we are.
Yeah.
All right. We have two more announcements, and then we will wrap this podcast up. The next one. Very critical, important information. Tomorrow, the second wave of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
I have been hearing about
tracks
this.
Come out, and honestly, I'm so stoked. It took longer than I was expecting them to come out, but man, was the first set was really impressive. I really enjoyed that a lot. So to have another set come out and Kamari Desert,
I should just get the expansion pack. I think I wouldn't mind playing a lot of those N64 games. On my Switch. I noticed this when I was out abroad. I was like, yeah, this wouldn't be bad to just play.
You could just like throw on Majora's Mask or something, you know? Okay.
Game.
Final piece of news. And this actually happened shortly after the podcast last week. I did not hear about this until like looking stuff up. But Knights of the Old Republic, the remake that they were making, has been indefinitely postponed.
Huh. Wow.
So that game is not happening anymore.
Who was developing that?
Let me pull it
I'm
up
surprised because I feel like everybody was so gung-ho on that. Like, what made them want to nix it?
So we are going to look at this article.
Okay.
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake indefinitely postponed. The highly anticipated KOTOR remake seems to be the latest in several major video game delays that have affected the game industry recently. According to Bloomberg, the Knights of the Old Republic remake has been put on hold indefinitely while the developer, Asper Media, reevaluates the progress made so far and reconsiders the reality of releasing the title in the near future, if at all.
Wow.
So the way that I read that is... something was very wrong with this game.
Yeah.
The reality of releasing the title in the near future, that tells me that they had like a demo or something and they were like, oh wait, like
this is
not they even had, close to being right.
Sounds like they had a like come to Jesus moment. And this is out of the gaming spectrum, but did you hear all the news coming out of like Warner Brothers?
No.
So did you hear this, Kerbo?
No.
So there was this movie made with Michael Keaton coming back as Batman. It's Batgirl. So cast Batgirl, Brendan Fraser from The Mummy is Firefly, the villain.
Okay.
Stupid Batman villain.
But star-studded cast.
Star-studded cast. They had other people that I don't remember.
B-plus cast.
Star-studded cast. They filmed the entire thing for $90 million. It's done. They decided not to release it.
Wow. Because what, it would have damaged Warner Brothers' brand?
So they're being a little vague, but it's one reason was tax purposes. But it didn't, I don't think it viewed well in the early showings. Wow. So I guess the math for them didn't make sense to release a sure bomb. And like, I guess that hurts on the taxes somewhere. Taxes. Yeah. But like, this is a finished product. And Brendan Fraser is like his return to. People were just really upset for him, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just an odd thing. So this reminds me of that, where it's like, you have this finished product, and you're like, it's so bad that we can't
in
fix
good conscience,
it.
Yeah. Like, release
it's,
it.
It's funny, because we were talking about this with Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
And whatever weird amalgam of a game that's coming out as.
People are, that's a weird game, you're right. Like,
they're releasing that the day before God of War.
That's
that
smart.
Game is going to bomb. It is going to bomb.
I heard most of it's on land. Which
what?
Is so, yeah, so funny.
There's no way that game is not going to bomb. There's no way. Like, but tactically speaking, Ubisoft is like, we have to release this game.
Yeah.
I'm of the assumption that is like a shareholder thing. Like, they made a promise to their shareholders that they will launch X amount of titles in a year or something. So if they don't do it, then it might.
And how easy would it be to say that this game flopped because God of War was out?
Yeah, we were just pushed into this time slot, and you know, yada yada.
So I don't know if this is a trend or a coincidence, but for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about this type of thing. Where I think last week we heard that Ubisoft canceled a few games, which I'm blanking on it. Maybe like a Ghost Recon, or there were a couple. Remember, there was a couple games that were canceled.
Yeah, it's escaping me right now.
So they canceled like four games. 2 weeks ago, we heard that Rockstar was, for now,
delaying. They canceled the remakes of 4 and Red Dead 1.
Hmm. Right, so to focus on 6. But is it a coincidence that like all of these entertainment studios, we're talking about games, but even the film, it's like, everyone seems to be doing a little bit of a consolidation, like, is this really worth it to put this out, or should we focus our efforts in one direction? And maybe this is just the time of the year to do that. Maybe it's a coincidence, you know, post-COVID stuff going on. Who knows? But it just seems like we're hearing a lot of that lately, so
it's a little strange. What's happening with the gaming industry right now? You're right. Patterns are...
It's starting to feel like a pattern, with stuff like this.
It could be the kind of thing where it's like, you know, and this is totally speculative, but it's like the economy's not doing very well right now. So they're like, okay, people probably don't have much money. So should we release three decent games, or just release one banger and then try to make our money back on the one banger? Because we know that people don't have enough money to spend on three games. So we'd have three soft hits or one mega hit.
Yeah. But what's the logic? Like, I guess it's sunk cost, but you know, when you have a Knights of the Republic where it's, we'll say 40% complete or something, and that's probably being generous, but like, it's out there, money has been spent, like, we are working on it, but they're like, they see the progress that's been made, and it's like, there's nothing here.
I guarantee you that the way that these game developers operate, or the publishers operate, is that they probably have some level of like sunken cost regardless. Like, they'll call the first $5 million, just like, the first $5 million that we spend on salaries to make this game is literally just R&D. And that was probably what happened with KOTOR, where it's like they hit their first milestone and they're like, all right, let's look at what the first $5 million invested into this game got us. And they're like, this looks like shit. There's no way you're going to fix this for $20 million more dollars. We're not putting any more into this.
Yeah.
You know, the mistake in that case is talking about it beforehand. You know what I mean?
Right.
We shouldn't have known that a KOTOR remake was happening.
Right.
Because now I think it still makes the brand look bad, because it's like, oh, you canceled my favorite game.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, KOTOR has such a huge following.
For sure.
I know. I was
excited for it.
I know.
I'm
too.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. I was excited for it.
Mm.
I want to see this Batman movie. You know, like, give me the movie. Give me the content. You told me about it.
Yeah.
Just put it on some streaming services. It's fine.
You didn't listen to the podcast last week, right?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear the news on GTA 6?
No, did they pause it? Did
Miami, Florida.
Cool.
And
Vice City.
First time female protagonist.
Ooh. Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hooking up with male prostitutes.
I know, it's exactly what we...
Literally, all of us were like, women have not historically been treated very nicely in this game, so it will be interesting to see how they write that character.
I'm excited to see it, honestly, and... If GTA 5, I still yearn to play that game to this day.
Question for you guys. It's very early, but just ballpark guess, what's the release date for GTA 6?
2026.
Holiday next year. I was going to say holiday next year.
So you're December 2023? You think it's that soon?
Holiday,
we haven't seen even a JPEG of the logo. I don't believe we're going to see it for another few
years. GTA 5 is a PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah, but GTA 5 is making them buttloads of money.
But even if it's
making... They can take their time.
Even if it's making them buttloads of money. So when did it come out? Originally 2015? No, earlier than that.
That seems too
late. Yeah, 2014, I think. No, 2013, I think. Because I was living in a financial district at the time in New York, and I remember playing that and switching the game over to Xbox so we could play together. Do you remember that shit?
Jesus.
And okay. I was playing on Xbox 360. It had to have been 2013.
September 17th, 2013.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
So, okay. So, nearly 10 years ago, even if they didn't know at the time that they would re-release the game six times and make $20 bazillion off of it.
I bought that game like four times.
Guaranteed, by 2015, they had to have already started on GTA 6.
No, remember? They had Red Dead Redemption 2, and they were saying GTA 6 was too controversial at the time. Like, things were too
hot button.
I remember reading this. It was like the world was too like culturally charged that putting out anything that was satirical could be seen as distasteful.
Mm. Wasn't Max Payne 3 in there too at that point? Like it was peppered in there somewhere.
Max Payne 3 was late Xbox 360.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. That was definitely...
There was like Max Payne Remake.
You're right. I missed it by a year.
Max Payne 3 was definitely a...
It came out a year before GTA 5.
How about that?
Crazy.
No, but you're definitely right. They were focused on Red Dead Redemption 2.
And that game is a huge...
But that was...
I'm going to play that game later tonight.
Red Dead 2?
Maybe I'll start it over again.
There you go.
That's not happening.
Maybe you should just beat Spider-Man tonight.
That and Miles Morales, and I've not touched Miles Morales yet.
I haven't played Miles Morales yet.
It's actually good. It's
apparently
it's
a really
short
game.
It's more of what you expect it to be.
Well, that's kind of why I haven't played it.
Yeah,
I played Spider-Man already.
Spider-Man's great.
I should really just beat that game. What's wrong with me?
Is it still installed?
Yeah.
So
no.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say no. You got a PS5?
I would guess it's gonna come out. Skirbo, your guess at 2023 seems a little too soon, but I think it's probably earlier than 2026.
Maybe.
So we'll might do like a...
GTA 6, 2026.
I'd do a holiday 20... It's not so far away, 2024, but...
Mm-hmm. Guys, we're already at 2023. What's another three more years?
More than halfway through 22.
Yeah, but that number just seems way too high, guys.
Yeah, right.
Well, halfway through the 2020s?
What do you think? 2024?
That's I would think it would be somewhere closer to like a holiday 2024.
All right, if we're doing Price is Right rules, I'll go 2025.
So we'll just spread it out.
I mean, he goes 2023, you go 2024, I go 2025. Bada bang, bada boom. If it's before that, I'll be pleasantly surprised. My expectations are low.
There you go. That's the way to play the game.
Someone who's listening to this, remind us of this bet.
Yeah. Somebody write this down. Anyway, yeah. So GTA 6, interesting that it's going to be female protect.
What's the bet?
Oh, yeah. We're not betting. I guess we don't even have like a...
The winner gets a free copy paid by the losers.
Whoa.
Ooh.
It's good stakes.
Good stakes. Physical and or digital. No, not and. Physical or digital. Not and.
Mm. And. I'll do both, please.
Okay.
I will say, though, it is...
And the listener who reminds us of this, when it comes out, you'll get a free copy too.
Oh, there you go. Wow. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
I will say that having a female protagonist will be very interesting because that does change everything. Because everything in the GTA has been through... I don't mean to use like cultural, like whatever, like terminology, but it has been basically through the male gaze the entire time. And it's interesting to see how they would flip that on its head and how that will be a little bit more of an open-minded GTA than other ones past.
Yeah.
Even though I say GTA 5 took in three different characters with three different, very different motivations and three very different like lifestyles and like and they meshed it well.
And they all were written
really
super well, right? They were all written very well.
Dude, the writing was phenomenal. That was what kept me playing that game, let alone flying airplanes under bridges and stuff. But still, the writing in that game was phenomenal. And if they could hit that same thing with Red Dead Redemption 2, which I will say that the writing was amazing, though it was like, I'll say it now, like a lot of parts of were like kind of boring and like low. But if GTA 6 comes out and they can do the same writings, like the same... They can kill it with the writing, and they can kill it with the style, like the style and the play, and the main character is somebody that you can get behind. Yeah, that sounds fascinating to me.
I think I would prefer a single main character to three, because I do think they did that well.
Yeah.
But, like, I like getting invested in, like, my character, the character that I had. And they were trying to tell a story with three different people. I get that.
Three different perspectives on the same scenarios.
It's like when you're reading a book or something... And you're like really invested in that chapter of that character, and then you turn the page, and now you're on a different character. You're like,
the new chapter is about some other character that you've never talked about yet.
And you know that's fine too, but I think in a video game scenario, in like a GTA environment, I think I would prefer a single character story. That's just me though. But
last note, speaking of books, I've been reading Reggie Fils-Aimé's book.
Oh yeah,
and it's really good.
Changing the game.
It's really good. Disrupting the game.
All right, Reggie.
Terrible title.
Relax.
But
we knew it was going to be a bad title before we even knew what it was.
But it's really good. I would recommend it.
But the man's worth reading about.
Yeah, he's done some pretty cool stuff.
We mentioned this. I mentioned this back before, like on when it was called the Zero Review podcast, but dude's scary. Like, I think we've all, have we all met him?
No.
Like, you
no.
haven't, I've I thought you interacted him. With him in person one no. point, no?
Only
no.
Doug Bowser.
Doug Bowser, yeah.
Oh, okay. I had like a Zoom call with him at, when I worked at ESRB, but he's like a.
He was like you, the one with the beard.
He's like, he's just sort of an, he's an intense guy. And he's just very different from his onstage persona, which it may not be surprising, but he's a pretty intense guy.
It's shocking that he was still intense games. After he retired.
Yeah, right.
He was just he was describing like how he came up like through Nintendo and you know his management style, and he was just very intense. Like tell it like it is. Like he rubbed people some people the wrong way, but it's like he just knew the right way to go, and you know gained respect that way. And other like other people that didn't like that left the team. You know that kind of attitude.
What I want to know is how do you have that level of confidence? Like, is it the experience or is it just
I can
like?
Tell you exactly how because I read it.
Is it straight up like this is just logic. This is just how it would play out.
It's because he used to get into fights with his brother on the streets of New York when they were trying to get robbed, and then he went to college that he paid for by himself, and then he got prospected to work at Procter & Gamble where they ran him into the ground, but he found a way to succeed because he had a really good boss. And then Jesus. He became the fucking man at marketing, and then he got hired by like six different companies and made them like phenomenally successful. Like Crisco, Guinness, Panda Express, Pizza Hut, VH1.
What I'm hearing is that we need more strife in life in order to hone that edge.
Send your kids out on the streets of New York to fight people.
I think that's the play. But otherwise, they become too soft and they start thinking about internal feelings so much.
That's right. That's right.
So he crushes it at all these companies, and then he goes to GameStop, and he's like, I don't, you know, never mind.
He retired at that point, and GameStop was like, hey, could you be on the board? And he was like, sure. And he sits down, and he's like, oh, shit, this is crazy. And he leaves, exit stage left.
The leg falls off the chair. He's like, you know what?
I haven't even gotten an Nintendo yet. Although he did share one anecdote before some Nintendo that I thought was pretty hilarious, where he was saying that like when he was like on his rise, you know, like going to work and all this sort of stuff, he was playing a Super Nintendo at his house. This is when he had his first son, and he was like sharing this anecdote with like the board team at Nintendo, talking about like his love for games or whatever. And he said that, you know, he would go to work all day and he would come home and play A Link to the Past with his son, and his son would watch him and all this sort of stuff. And he was like, and I got through the whole game, and we watched each other play. So when I went to work, my son would play his file. And then when I came home, I would play my file. And he's like, and I remember getting so far into this game and I was so invested, and he's like, and I didn't realize what grip the game had over me, because I got all the way to the end and I was at the final boss, saved the game, but I had to go to work. So I went to work the next day. And when I came home, I could hear my son laughing in the other room because he had just beaten the game on my file, and you can only see the credit screen once. So he was like, and I couldn't ever see the screen because my son beat my file and I couldn't see it. And then Miyamoto apparently during that meeting came up to him and he's like, Reggie, is that a true story? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought that was a really funny story. Really
that's awesome. Rough, buddy. That's just, yeah. Right?
And that's when he started beating his children. I'm kidding.
The book takes a dark turn.
All right. Well, on that note, I think this has been a pretty good podcast.
This was really good.
A bit of a meandering one. We were a little all over the place, but
yeah, it's all right.
It ran pretty nicely. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us. Again, this is the Crit Rate Podcast. Please join us at crit-rate.com. Make your gamer profile, figure out what gamer house you're in, and enjoy all the wonderful personally curated reviews that you will find there. You'll be able to join us here next week, every Wednesday, at the Crit Rate Podcast, which you can download on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever.
Spotify.
You get podcasts. Spotify. Yep. Anchor.fm/CritRate, where you can also leave us voice messages. And like I said, listener, if you remember this bet, let us know. Mm-hmm. I'll remember. Remember if you remember.
Go pick a house. It's fun. The Banagist is the best one, so.
Disagree. But they're cool people. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Justin.
And we'll see you on the next one. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.